Hello everyone, welcome back to the Brain Blast Podcast, the podcast where we talk about serious psychological issues and how the general public doesn't know what they're talking about when they talk about them. I'm Jacob Stark.
I'm Chelsea Chikuma.
I'm Anna Bernardino.
And I'm Candace Williams.
So last week, if in case you missed it, we were talking about things like depression and anxiety and how it's kind of become a joke to some people in the modern age. When it's, again, a very serious issue. But if you want to hear that, you can go onto our website. We'll have the audio for you there. This week, we are talking about another very serious issue, childhood trauma. Some people aren't quite clear on what childhood trauma is somehow, which is why you get these cases of kids suing their parents for childhood trauma when really not that traumatic.
That's great.
Yeah, and over the past couple months, I've read about these crazy cases that children had had with their parents. And I honestly read one article that talked about how a child was suing their parents because he was born a ginger. And he was suing them for $1.3 million for pain and suffering.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
So... A little bit more elaboration on that. The kid was saying that it should have been called an unlawful birth because his parents were both ginger and knew that their child would be ginger. And as a result, because for some reason, I've honestly never understood why, but for some reason, a lot of kids make fun of gingers and bully them. So this kid was saying that because his parents knew he would be ginger, they knew he would be bullied and they should not have had him at all. And he even had a lawyer, like a genuine lawyer, took this case and said, oh, I think we've got an easy win here.
I think that's insane that he honestly got someone to support him enough to be his lawyer in this crazy case. Like, who would even do that?
That was not traumatic enough.
This kid was a teenager.
He was a teenager, literally trying to get $1.3 million from his parents.
Yeah, for legit just being born. Being born.
Birthday. Are you kidding me? Like, I was happy to be born. Like, I was happy. What in the world?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And his lawyer explained, like, in his case that there have been proven social difficulties for people born with red hair. And I've heard about people joking about how gingers don't have a soul and all that, but it's honestly always been a joke. I never thought someone would honestly go to the extent of suing their parents over this.
For being a ginger. Wow.
Yeah.
People literally dye their hair from black to ginger and love it. I don't understand.
Yes. And I also have another article that I read earlier, and it was about an adult. He was 27 years old, and he wanted to sue his parents for being born.
Without consent.
So he was basically wanting to know, like, he had a good childhood and then he got frustrated, so he ended up asking his parents, like, why did you have me? And one of his parents were like, they didn't have an answer. So that kind of like stuck around in the back of his mind, and then he started kind of like regretting being born, which still made no sense, even though he was happy with his life. Yeah.
Yeah. And then again, it's like probably the worst one, which is more directly related. There was a pair of siblings who sued their mother for, I think, like $2 million. Specifically, not just saying like unlawful birth or born without consent, specifically saying that they had had a traumatic upbringing. Because, and the evidence they cited, was that she sent them birthday cards that had positive messages and love mom XOXO that did not contain money. That was their cited evidence in court. This was brought up in court. Other examples included, I believe, not allowing them driving privileges if they misbehaved at school. And again, this was seriously brought up in court as evidence of childhood trauma.
Wow.
That's insane. I think these kids are just spoiled and that they just got whatever they wanted, and as soon as they didn't get one thing they wanted, they're like, oh, I'm suing you.
Right. They don't know what real trauma is.
They really don't.
Like, exactly. Are you kidding me?
It's like childhood trauma. Like, that's when it's like when an event is like dangerous enough or scary enough to either the child themselves, like threat or actual bodily harm or emotional harm, to them or like their loved ones. Because, and it can stick with them for years. There are so many genuine, serious problems that can come from childhood trauma. And when this shit gets in the news, because this is what people are calling childhood trauma and trying to push it. And again, like, not just in like stupid petty disputes, this is like serious lawsuits. These things had massive amounts of money riding on them. Lawyers were brought in, juries had to sit there and listen to this, judges had to just
that's a waste of time. Yes. Like, that's a waste of time, a waste of money. What are these kids gonna get out of that? Their college paid for? Like, these kids can't spend $10 million, $1.5 million if they were to win the case by wasting people's time and their parents' time and money just to say that they have been traumatized because there is no money in a birthday card. Are you kidding me?
I totally agree. And I think cases like these make it so that when there is actually real trauma and like real abuse going on, that people don't take it seriously because people make a joke out of it by suing their parents for having red hair or by not getting money.
Mm-hmm. This covers up the people who need the therapy instead of these people who just need a timeout, basically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's the same thing we were talking about with like last week with depression, where it's like people make a joke about it and it becomes such a common joke where again, like, but instead of people like, oh, I'm depressed, it's like, oh no, I had a bad childhood. And then it makes it so that when people genuinely have, it's like the boy who cried wolf, when people genuinely have a problem, right, but other people have been crying wolf, not them. It's not their fault. It's other people have been idiots. And it makes it harder for people who have genuine problems to get help.
Man, that's crazy. And it's like, these kids have other things to worry about other than not getting money. These kids worry about being bullied. Social media is a huge impact on their lives. And it just, when real people have real childhood trauma, it affects them in the biggest way. Not to the point where they want to sue their parents, but to the point where they need therapy. And some people think it's a joke. And because we hear these stories like this, it is a joke. So when we hear, like you were saying, when we hear people cry out for help, we think it's a joke. But then once they become suicidal, now we want to ask how they're feeling or take them to therapy or things like that. So it's a big issue.
Yeah, and I actually had the chance to sit down and talk to Elaine Shreve, and she has been a foster parent for about 10 years, and she's adopted two of the kids that she has fostered. So she has had a lot of experience with kids that come from traumatic situations. Elaine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you too. It's so nice to be with you.
So I just want to hear more about your experiences that you've had with kids that come from traumatic situations and what you've seen, how that has affected them psychologically, if you've seen any.
Well, of course, we know that kids that come from, that any kid that's being removed from their home, from their biological family, is in trauma because it is traumatic to leave your family. So that's really the beginning. And then from there, kids that also have been physically abused or nutritionally abused, or, you know, just have not been well cared for or loved or not safe, they also have show signs of trauma that's more than just being removed from their family. So in our house, we've had a lot of different manifestations of trauma that comes depending again on the different kinds of kids, you know, kind of what their trauma has been. So I don't know if you're asking me for more specific like signs, or if you want like,
yeah. So what effects have you seen that growing up in a traumatic household bring to these kids?
So I guess the kids will come, many times the kids that come to us, the very first thing is that they don't feel safe because they've been removed even from an unsafe environment. It's what's familiar. So they don't feel safe. So the very first signs of trauma you will see is manifested in some sort of fear or anxiety. Sometimes it's kind of hypervigilance or some sort of, you know, chaotic behavior. Very often the first things that we do is we make sure the kid feels safe and they know that they're safe. They have everything they need physically to go to bed because a lot of kids come in the nighttime. And then the next day we start working on good nutrition and all the resources, the physical resources they need, get them enrolled in school and start them with consistency. So a lot of kids that come from trauma have a really hard time with doing the same thing every day. You know, I know we've had one little girl that would ask me, I mean, after 2 weeks of going to school every day, she would say, "Are we going to school again today?" Because she wasn't used to going every single day. She had missed so much school. So those are signs of kids who have been in at least unhealthy situations. Then you can go all the way to kids that will harm themselves physically or pull their hair out, or you know, some of the older kids will go all the way as far as cutting. Those are all signs of trauma. Acting out, behavior issues. We have a child that we had actually ended up adopting, and he would show his anxiety through dissociative behaviors. So he would just, all of a sudden, he would not communicate at all, and he looked like he had gone somewhere else, and even his face looked a little bit different than it did when he was interacting with us. Problems with toileting, and there's so many different ways that kids cope with their trauma. We have a little boy that tears paper, draws pictures and tears them out, and he does it in excess, thousands and thousands of little tear out pieces, and that brings him comfort. So and then trauma therapy.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of counseling.
Yeah. So I think that you like talked about how the trauma that experience affects like their endocrine system. And have you seen anything? I read about like fight or flight syndrome. Have you seen anything about that with the kids that you've taken in or anything?
Yeah. So one of the kids that we, the first time I really realized what all was happening physiologically with trauma, we had a boy that was placed with us who had been so physically abused. He literally had a footprint bruise on his back. And so he came to us black and blue, and we took him to a doctor that specialized in neurological care, and they did a lot of homeopathic kind of medications. And so he educated me on fight, flight, or freeze, and he explained to me that when a child lives in that state of fight, flight, or freeze, they all of their endocrine system just stays on active, and it's very difficult for them to let that part of their brain calm down. So he gave us a 60-day supply. No, I think it was 90 days. I think it was 3 months supply of amino acids that would help his brain firing, and digestive enzymes to help his stomach. And that was in an effort to help to reactivate his rest and digest systems. And then hopefully by being in a safe environment and being well cared for, he was able to, some of those systems would calm down. When you're in that constant state of hyper awareness and you know, you're afraid all the time, those chemicals just rage throughout your body, and it changes your brain chemistry. It literally changes the way that your brain works. And so we know, I'm completely convinced that this is correct. And there's so many studies. The Kaiser Permanente did an incredible study, and they have come up with the ACEs program, adverse childhood experiences, where they can help kids who have gone through traumatic experiences, and as they're adults and they come through and they learn how to manage their stresses and take care of themselves in the ways that they need to get, you know, again, you go back to good nutrition. You know, toxic stress makes people sick, and that's pretty much what the ACEs study told us, that when you live in that toxic stress, it makes you physically ill. So you have all these manifestations of childhood trauma as an adult in so many different health issues, and you can see that all across our country. Really, it's honestly a childhood epidemic. If that's how I've read it, and it's been explained to me. So yeah, it's really hard to come up out of that without the proper kind of response to kids who are in trauma. It's different than a typical child. My biological children, we definitely raise them differently than we do our kids that come from hard places.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that coming from a hard place makes it a lot harder to cope with the world sometimes. So, Elaine, I just want to say thank you so much for just meeting with us today and talking about this, and we just appreciate you taking time out of your day. So is there any last words that you just want to leave us with in regards to childhood trauma or anything like that?
Only that we are currently, we are in the best position that we can be, because we have so many people now that are being trained in trust-based relational intervention, childhood trauma therapy. And so for me, I feel very hopeful about the future of our kids, because we know that through time and help, there's so many resources available. We can really literally help our kids' brains to heal and help them become all that they can be, to be the kind of people that they need to be. So I'm really thankful for that.
That is some eye-opening stuff right there.
Wow, yeah, that's intense.
Anyway, so yeah, like she was saying, like childhood trauma, it is not something to be taken lightly. So an actual traumatic event is generally defined as when something happens to a child, or also their family, particularly their caregivers, that is either frightening enough or enough of a threat to their physical or mental well-being that it then has like continuing effects. It's particularly important for younger children, because they have a very, very, a lot of their sense of safety comes from what they, how safe they think their caregivers are. And there's just so much stuff that can have a lasting impact after childhood trauma. Yeah, it's like just like what she was saying earlier.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Like, of course, when you're a child, your brain is still developing. You're still taking in these experiences. And literally, your brain doesn't stop growing up until, what, age 21, 23, depending on the gender. So that is a huge thing. I know I was watching a TED Talk the other day, and they were explaining this thing about this study called the ACE study, where basically they talked to adults and they asked them, you know, how much amount of abuse or neglect or parental illnesses or, you know, domestic violence, some type of childhood trauma that happened in their childhood, and how it affects them today. Now, when they reported, when the adults reported, you know, how many ACEs was what they called it, they were childhood experiences that they reported, the study was that if you had between 1 to 8 the childhood experiences of trauma and neglect, you were 12 times more likely for suicidal rates, and you were 67% more likely if you had only one ACE. You were more likely to have a mental illness or have some issues that affect you in your everyday life. So this could mean passing it on to, you know, your children, or having other issues that still affect you today.
So as we were talking about earlier, childhood trauma is not only a mental thing, but it's also physical. And it can come up later up in their adulthood lives as asthma, depression, or coronary heart disease, also stroke and diabetes.
It's also an increased risk for smoking and other risk behaviors.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, and like I was saying before, like constantly living in that stressful situation creates toxic stress, and toxic stress can reduce our hippocampus's capacity to bring cortisol levels back to normal after stressful events. Because you're constantly in that stressful state, it literally rewires your brain. And even with the corpus callosum, maltreated children and teens, this decreases the volume in this, and it makes, and that's what's responsible for our emotion and our cognition skills. And so it literally makes us, not only does it make us not able to deal with stressful situations, it affects the way we think. And so being maltreated and childhood trauma and abuse literally rewires your brain, like I said before, and it rewires how you think and how you look at life.
When it comes to women who have childhood trauma, who go through things such as molestation or rape, things like that, at a young age, people tend to pity them. But when it comes to men who have gone through the same thing, they tend to be expected to accept it, because they say, oh, you're a man, you should enjoy that, you got some action. And it tends to destroy the safe place for men to come out and admit that they have childhood trauma, and it fuels toxic masculinity. Because for a man to say, okay, I'm supposed to enjoy that, I'm just supposed to swallow it, I'm not supposed to hurt, that tends to force them to bury their actual feelings, ignore things that hurt them, and it tends to screw up how they view things and screw up their understanding in regards to consent, which in turn really affects all of their relationships, whether it's friendships or, you know, girlfriend or whatever, because they don't understand yes means yes and no means no and things like that. Because in their own situation, even when they wanted to say no or they felt as though it was something that they didn't want, they were forced to believe that it was okay.
All right, so overall, when I was listening to that TED Talk, overall and listening to that interview that we did, I think the general idea of childhood trauma is where threats are, I guess, so severe or pervasive that they literally get under our skin and change our physiology and affects us in the long run as an adult.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in today to our podcast. We hope that you guys enjoyed it.
And we also hope that you took something away from this.
If you liked us, make sure to tune in next week, where we will be talking about chronic eating disorders.